MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
With matric results just around the corner, the debate over the integrity of our matric results has been turned up a notch. Today, Build One South Africa leader Musi Maimandi is demanding that the current 30% matric pass rate be scrapped in favour of a 50% minimum pass mark. So is this a realistic push for standards? Is it achievable? Or is this just a political headline grab at the expense of learners and schools that are already under pressure? Musi Maimandi, a very warm welcome to you. You say the 30% pass mark is too low, but I wonder if you've considered how many schools would fail if we jumped to 50%. Is it fair to raise the bar before fixing the schools?
Good afternoon, Jeremy, and thank you so much for having me. You know, I often say to people that if I want to go run the 100-meter race at the Olympics in the next 4 years, I can't say if the qualifying mark is 10 seconds for the 100 meters. I must say, well, because I haven't eaten well, I haven't been on a good diet, adjusted to 15. It's simply we're in a competitive environment. Or every G20 country, most of the G20 countries that were here in South Africa, have their pass marks higher. The Asian countries who have succeeded incredibly have their pass mark closer to 50%. Kenya is at 35% and moving itself progressively up. Therefore, for us as South Africans to say, well, we need to fix everything else, curriculum, etc., and whatever we achieve is what we were aiming for in the first place, is the wrong way to go about it. I would urge that were we to go at 35, 40, then 50% progressively, what we would end up doing is creating a system shock that would force teachers to up their games, for us to say when we prioritize infrastructure spend, this is what we're doing it on. When we then do all the other things that make us very competitive, we at least are coming out of a place that says we want learners to do better. And I find it criminal, frankly, that the government wants to defend the policy of 30% in a subject.
If we move to 50% too quickly, though, there is an issue around support in funding, surely, teacher training and infrastructure. And the problem here, the risk, surely, is that poorer schools could be punished.
Well, research, what we've looked at it, Jeremy, is that when you looked at schools, you know, When you find quintile 1, 2, and 3 schools actually who are improving on this issue, find them, their marks get if they set a benchmark of 60%, they tend to produce more learners that pass in very poor environment. So to me, the curriculum adjustment, as the Minister of Basic Education came to defend glowingly, was to say, no, this only affects, there are only 190-odd learners who pass at 30%. And my argument to her was that, well, if that is such a minimal impact, why are we not adjusting it? What would be the material damage of asking our kids to be better? So, yes, the funding question is on the table, but government, as we sit here today, in the budget committee, quintile 1, 2, and 3 schools, which are the no-fee-paying schools or the poor schools, as it were, have gotten their adequate funding for the next financial year. Quintile 4 and 5, which are the high-fee-paying schools, ex-Model C schools, etc., have had their funding cut. And that's where parents are forking out a lot of money to compensate for that. And you'll see that parents who send their kids to ex-Model C schools are going to be paying higher. But even within that context, the reality of it is that when you do an IEB assessment or you do a quintile 4 and 5 school, none of them accept 30%. So clearly, we must either believe it's poor kids who must pass at 30%, or we are literally failing the future of our kids.
Is there a danger, I wonder, that a higher threshold would increase dropouts or just push more children out of the system?
Dropouts have a multiplicity of factors, of which the biggest dropout zone is in grade 10. And inherently, some of those are economic reasons, and some of those are sometimes when you find a learner fails or whatever the case is, there isn't an adult at home who supports. So if we really want to address the dropout issue, we need to make sure there's schooling closer to every child, that there's a responsible adult that's there. And then we need to offer the adequate support when a child does fail in this particular instance. But that, all of those factors considered, whilst I hear and I'm sympathetic to the 40% dropout rate that we have in the country, it is not defended, or it is not going to be solved by simply lowering the standards. It's not as though the contrary works correctly, that if you made it 25%, for argument's sake, more children would stay at school. That's not why they're dropping out. So therefore, it requires us to up the standards and ask that if that learner, I know, Jeremy, my mother was a cashier. Once you become educated, your life is materially changed for the next generation. Therefore, it cannot be that even in poor circumstances that our kids must pass at lower levels, because it just keeps them trapped at a level of poverty.
What does up the standards mean?
So if you were to say we are assessing children at 50%, what that means is that we eradicate this idea of proficiency at 30. It means that we adjust the entire system, that when a child starts school, if we know we're working towards 50%, we know immediately then that we train our teachers better, we capacitate them in technology, we focus on core subjects like math, science, more specifically economics. And then fourthly, what we then tend to do at that point is that we focus on the early childhood development centers so that our kids at the age of 10 are able to read for meaning, because we know the material damage that happens when a child has a bad start. It's very hard to correct it all the way through, but it begins with having a goal higher than what just simply means let's just progress learners through.
How would you convince very influential teacher unions of your argument?
The teacher unions, I think, you know, what we've seen is that the fundamental change in a school, even in a unionized school, when the headmaster or the leader of the school wants higher standards, everyone works towards that. So this is not an untested system. It's that they've all come through in various spaces. And so we have to make the case. We have to make the case to those unions. And I would argue that when I look at unions, particularly those who have got representation in IEB, in quintile 4 and 5 schools, and those, they understand this argument inherently, because they would never accept a child coming through at 30%. So therefore, I think there is a groundswell of South Africans, and certainly in the debate in Parliament we held, there were many political parties that were on this side of the argument rather than trying to defend a policy. So I do think that were we to make the case and a progressive increase, I'm not suggesting that we wake up tomorrow and say we're moving from 30 to 50. That, of course, would shock the system. But I think a progressive 5% incrementalism over the next 5 years or the next 4 years would mean we'd get to 50%. And I think teachers would come along with that.
And hypothetically, if that were to cause a sharp dip in national results, surely that would damage confidence in the system and also learner morale?
Not necessarily. I think that one, if you were to experience a dip in the system, but you were measuring correctly, the other win that you have in that same light is the fact that our problem at the moment is that if we keep it as it is, we are graduating children for unemployment. But were we to adjust and offer curriculum that says to people you'll be assessed higher, it means that when a young person gets into a TVET college, for argument's sake, they actually can have a throughput. Because if I send a child who's passed at 30% at a TVET college and say, go learn mechanics or whatever the case is, the throughput rate at that level is only 9%. So you are creating economic suicide just over the process of this thing. So ultimately, what I'm trying to advance for is that, yes, the dip would be there, but we would work hard to correct it. But more importantly, we would produce a learner whose prospects of finding work are much higher than the one we're sending out at 30%.
Musi Maimane is the leader of Build One South Africa. Thank you very much indeed.